You may be seated, and thank you so much for standing. Your Bibles, if we can keep them open tonight, I'd appreciate it. We'll use them. I've had the joy for 21 years to teach a preacher boys class, church administration, and the last 2 years I have taken 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy and Titus. Those three books are called pastoral letters, a letter to the pastor. 1 Timothy is 6 chapters and 2 Timothy is 4 and Titus is 3, very short chapters, but it's a letter to pastors. And we have literally gone word by word. I have a final for them, and we have quizzes, and we have reports that are due, and papers. But once a quarter, they leave their Bibles where they're seated, open to the text that we've been studying for that semester, and I grade their Bibles. I want their Bibles to be marked. One preacher said one time, mark your Bible and let your Bible mark you. I don't say it to be arrogant because it's just really sloppy, but this Bible, I just mark it everywhere. It helps me. This is my book I want to live by. I've circled every time in the Bible it says the word heart, because everything we do should be with heart. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. Over 1,000 times, heart. Everything that we do has got to be heart with it. I've underlined the word great, I think about 1,700 times, because I think everything in life should be great. Now, there's a lot of tears. The older I get every day, there's tears, there's sorrow, there's disappointment. But I just think God's so great. And His Word is so great. God's people are so great. You're not going to find me criticizing God's people. I love God's people. I have people say, well, you know the politics in church. I have no idea what you're talking about. Maybe you're part of politics, but I'm not part of that. Well, you know how Christians are. I know. They're wonderful. They're great. I'll take them any day over the beer crowd. I'd go here anytime over the tavern and the nightclub and the fast lane. I'd go anytime over the marijuana dispensary crowd or the opium crowd. I'm so thankful for God's people. I've been going to church really in this area other than college for almost 67 years. Just a year. My whole life I've been in church. Sunday school, Sunday night, Sunday morning, Wednesday night. And I love it. I don't want less church. I want more church in my life. I've preached almost every Monday, Tuesday somewhere in this nation. I go to church all the time. I don't feel like I've missed out in life. I'm not a fisherman, and that's not wrong if you are. And I'm not a golfer, and it's not wrong if you are. And I'm not a hunter. It's not wrong if you are. I love what I'm doing. I can't believe that God would let me be a preacher of the gospel. And I want every day I can to get up and live and love what I'm doing. It's harder today than it's ever been. Brother Bobby Robertson pastored 62 years the same church, and seeing him in that coffin earlier this year just breaks my heart. I just miss that man so much. But he told me, Brother Treber, the last 10 years have been harder than all the other 50-some years. I can tell you the last 10 years, it's harder because the day is waxing worse and worse. I know that. And I know many shall follow their pernicious ways. And I know this world is collapsing. But these books have been such an inspiration. I began to teach them 2 years ago because I read them repeatedly for months. And they're such short chapters, you can read it in one setting. I want to be a good pastor, so I read these pastoral epistles. One thing after teaching for 2 years, I missed. It's crazy, I should miss it. I kept thinking pastoral epistles, the letter to the pastors. But then when I went back, I saw that intertwined in all of it is ladies, women. This church would collapse if the ladies pulled out. I am not an anti-woman lady. I'm not a make fun of women ladies. I think it's hard to be a Christian in any realm, but in 2018, a godly lady, a virtuous lady, you can't even find virtuous clothes, modest clothes. The whole world's against the concept of a godly, biblical woman, of fulfilling her role in life as a wife and a mother, and that's frowned upon and looked down upon. And you're not low life. I heard a baby, and thank God. I just want to remind you that other than a crying baby, we're all in church in this auditorium. We're not out in these hallways. Right now, if you're out there watching on the screens, get to church. But tonight, I'm just shocked. Go back with me, and I'll get to our text, chapter 5. But I want you to see, by way of introduction, chapter 2, verse number 9. Verse 8 says, I will therefore that men pray. Chapter 2, verse 8. Man, that's what we're supposed to be doing. Praying in our home and praying for our wives and praying for our kids. Lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner, here it is. They introduced the ladies because you're such a key. Also, that the women adorn themselves in modest, decently, orderly apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or the golds or the pearls or the costly array. Certainly not talking that you can't not wear gold and silver and things of that nature, or else you're not supposed to wear apparel either. No, I think God's just trying to show us, you don't try to bring a show to yourself. You don't do anything to try to turn everybody's head and everything about me and myself and me and who I am. That's not a biblical woman. He says, but that which becometh women. Here he is again, professing godliness and good works. And again, I say to the great ladies of North Valley Baptist Church, thank you for being godly ladies. In a godless world, you teenage girls, God bless you. Thank you for being godly young girls. And sometimes you don't even understand it all yet. Verse number 11, let the women learn in silence with all subjection. What does that mean? Sit down, woman. You be quiet. Listen, no. Silence means a quietness about her. A mother, if she's going to raise children right, cannot be a screamer, cannot be a yeller, cannot be a moody person, cannot be an angry person. She has to have a quietness about her, a stillness about her, a spirit that there's a calm in the midst of the storms of life. Your kids are going to have storms, and please don't dump your storm on top of them and have them carry a man's size and a woman's size burden. Your dad and I are having trouble. Well, keep it to yourself. Your kids ought not to have to handle that situation. Everything's all right in my mama's house, in my father's house. Oh, I wish you had a home like I had growing up. I wish you had a home like we had with our kids. Ladies, you're so important. I suffer a woman. I don't want to allow a woman to teach or usurp authority over a man, to be in silence. Don't be dominant over a husband. Isaiah 3 says, in the last days, children will rule in the home and women will rule over the whole entire home. That's part of the last days. He keeps talking about a woman. Adam was first formed, then Eve. Adam was not deceived. God gave me from this text next year's message. I got it already on Mother's Day. I'm so excited about preaching. I hope it comes next week. Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if thou continue in faith and charity and holiness and sobriety. Ladies, you see those qualities? You have to have them. In a day where all of that seems so foreign. Look what he says in chapter 3. He's talking about the bishop or the pastor. And the bishop, the pastor, that is that great word that deals with an episkopos is the Greek word. He is an overseer of the assembly. The pastor oversees it. The bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. I don't know what God all has planned, but friend, I know this church needs a pastor, yes, but they need a pastor's wife. And quite frankly, if God would take my wife before he'd take me, I'm sure my ministry would be over. I'd serve God. I'd do well. I'd try to do well before God. But thank God for a wife. Look what he says in verse 11, to the deacon's wives, bringing women up again, even so must their wives be grave. That is serious, not slanders, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husband of one wife. Deacon's wife, you're important. Here he's talking to the preachers, but he says, I want to talk to you about the ladies in the church. Notice what he says in chapter 4 and verse 7. Chapter 4, but refuse profane old wives' fables. That was a word that was dealing with teachings that was false, and they called it old. That was a cliche of that day, and perhaps you've heard it when you're a young child, if you're old enough, wives' tales, things that are not true. Notice what he says in chapter 1 of 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse number 5. When I call to remembrance, he had won Timothy to Christ. He won Titus to Christ. But here, Timothy, he said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned. Unfeigned. It wasn't fake. It wasn't phony. It was real. That is in thee that first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice. And I persuaded by thee also. It's generational. He said, well, where's his dad? His dad was a Greek heathen. His dad did not know God. His dad renounced God. He had no desire for God. But here's Timothy, a great man of God, a preacher of the gospel. Paul went to Christ, but he had a mother and a grandmother, and they both loved God. Today, your husband may have walked out on your life. Your wife may have walked out on you. I don't know what's the circumstance. But it doesn't exempt us from living for God. We just have those two little girls and two boys left here. We have 9 grandkids away from here. And I tell you what, my heart aches every day for them. We lived all within 4 blocks from one another for years. God called Tim to preach and God called Ryan to preach, and we miss their kids so much, and we're not at their activities and all that. But friend, we still have an example before these 13 grandkids that Nana and Pop are going to live for God. Thank God for his mother. Thank God for his grandmother. You don't raise your kids and say, okay, now my kids are out of the house. I'm not going to live for God. I'm not coming to church anymore. Julie Spencer's one of the many ladies on my prayer journal is a widow. And it has to be difficult, Julie. I see sometimes getting to church, it's hard to walk these steps. I admire you ladies that you've been that go home alone. And there's not someone there. And all of us will have that one day in our life. But you still love God. Notice what he says, and I want you to see what he says in Titus, and I'll get back to our text by way of introduction. It's so important, and we see these things, how that, how about 2 Timothy real fast, can't miss this, 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture. 2 Timothy 3:15, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. How did Timothy know the Holy Scriptures? From a child, from his Greek unsaved godless dad? No, from grandma and his mama. They taught him the Word of God. I hope your kids know the books of the Bible before they know the remote. Grandmothers are so important. I see a grandmother, well, there's many here, but visiting, and here's a grandmother. Brother Kissel, your mom visiting, and here's a grandmother. and all the grandmothers in the house. You have a high, high, high responsibility. These little kids, they come by here. A lot of times I'll say, wave at your grandma. They're in other states and sometimes other countries. Those dear ladies have a great responsibility. Turn with me as I've asked you to Titus chapter 2, and then we'll get to our message. And I know that's a lengthy introduction. Titus chapter 2. At the aged men, verse 2, be sober, serious, grave, dignified, temperate, self-control, sound in the faith. Listen to verse 3. Here he's talking to preachers again. Titus, who had won in the Lord, and the aged women. I don't know what an aged woman is because I've never met one over 39 years of age in my life. That the aged women, ladies that have seasoned in life, whether by age or by age in the Lord, they've walked with God a lifetime. And the Bible says, you aged women, don't resign the Sunday school class. Don't resign singing the choir. Don't resign because now you finally have something to teach. You have learned things from experiences, Laban says. At the aged women, likewise, has become behavior, has become unholiness, not false accusers, not running the mouth, not giving them much wine and teachers a good thing, that they may teach the young women to be sober, serious, love their husbands, love their children, to be discreet, to act properly, to be chaste, to be keepers at home. By the way, stop right there. Keepers at home does not make a, you stay in that house, don't you ever leave. No, keepers, you're guarding the home. Ladies, you guard the home. You guard what's coming in on these DVDs. You guard what's coming in on the network or whatever. You guard, I know the word, I can't think of it, but you guard it. You guard words in the home of unkindness. When we call one another names, and you don't yell and scream, you want to, No, don't resort to, son, honey, daughter, look at me, children, look at me. If you don't have their eyes, you don't have their ears. Look at me, son. Look at me, son. We don't call your sisters, your brother, a name like that in this home. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
No, you don't understand yet. That's an unkind word. That's unkind. Our children, that's why God says train up a child. Train means shape the mouth. You start raising a kid by shaping their mouth. And behold, we put bits in a horse's mouth, but we may turn about the whole body. Kids, and I won't say words that are not swear words, but I will not say unkind words here, lest it hurts and offends so many little children. I want to say some that are usual words, and they're not swear words, please. But we don't say words that are unkind. I'll use it. We don't call someone stupid. That's vulgar. That's unkind. That's disrespectful. Notice what he says. And you, ladies, you are keepers at home. You manage the home. And you're good. You ought to be good. And you ought to be obedient to your own husbands. At the word of God, be not blasphemed. Now I'll get to my message. Go back to 2 Timothy and I won't be long. 1 Timothy chapter 5. We were in chapter 5, the latter part of the verse this morning. Chapter. How Satan wants to destroy your home by getting a woman sidetracked and getting her out of her service, and how Satan's going to work against her. We saw that. But tonight, in these closing moments, I want to speak to you about the treatment of women. I don't believe in equal rights. I don't believe in it at all. It's in the Bible. I don't just believe that you treat a woman like the boys and like yourself. Oh, no. The Bible says, let each esteem other better than themselves. I don't want to treat my wife equal with me. She is a gift. I get to pastor this church because she has been willing to stay. I made her life all 24 hours a day for all these years. I've put pressures on her life that you don't even know about. Just because of my responsibility of life. Any time she could have said, I don't want this. And I know of good preachers whose wives walked out on them. I don't want this. I've counseled with so many pastors. She left me. She left the kids. She doesn't want any of it. Notice what the Bible says as we look at the treatment of women. And oh, how we need to train our children to be so respectful of women. One, we treat older women as mothers. Look what he says, verse 2 of chapter 5. Elder women as mothers. You treat an older woman as a mother. How do you treat your mother? You don't tell her off. You don't school her. Oh, mother! You don't, even as adults, you don't talk back to your mother. You always are to honor your mother. Children, obey. Yes, you get married. You leave father and mother. But it always says, honor thy father and mother. Respect! An older woman comes in, and you show such great respect with kindness. May I help you? And I'm not saying all older women, I'm not trying to be humorous at all. A lady has a walker. May I help you, please, with that walker? She has a cane. May I help you with that? She has a need. May I help you with that? She's carrying some heavy box. Please, mama, won't you do that for your mother? Won't you try to be kind to your mother? Won't you try to speak kindly to your mother? Oh, that sweet lady was ebbing away. And then about a year later, my dad was ebbing away in the exact same bed, same place. I have guilt of so many things. I wish I'd have been a better boy. But I don't have any guilt that how I treated them. I treated him with love and kindness. I told him every day that I ever talked to him, I love you. I wish I would have been a better son. When mother came to the point where she could not get to the hairdresser, I didn't have time to take her, but I made the time. And now, looking back, I'm so glad I did. She needed someone. Dad could not drive anymore. You people that have mothers, why in the world would you be unkind to your mother or your mother-in-law? Why? I can't comprehend it. I'd have given anything to know my wife's mother. She died right before we got married, a year or so. I wish I'd been gone 48 years. I love that he didn't meet your mom. You would love to be able to know your mom as a little girl. Why is a preacher's wife with 8 kids, God takes her home? I don't understand. I still don't see any good with that. But it happened. I really honestly wish I had a mother-in-law. I wish I would have still a mother, though she lived a lot. I wish I'd have known what it was to have a grandmother or grandfather. It shows such great respect. And you treat the older women as mamas. That's when they want to talk. You listen. You don't talk. And you show kindness. You show respect. And you show devotion. You show love. And love is always demonstrated. You have a mother that's alive. Don't call her once a month. Be in contact with her all the time. Husband, you come home, she's on the phone with her. I'm not talking about 24/7. I am talking about if your mother is alive, you ought to touch base every day, send a text or send a note or regular through the week and say, Mother, I love you. Sometimes you can't talk, I know. And I'm not suggesting an hour on the phone a day. Always remember Mother's Day and birthdays and anniversaries. Always tell them how you love them. You treat the older women as mothers. Someone texted us from Surprise, Arizona, texted my wife, said, "I wish you could have been in your son's church this morning. He spoke about his mother so much while he preached. I wish we, they don't, I'm sure they don't tape it. I wish you could hear it." And they began to tell my wife the things he said. And it meant so much to her that her son would think those things to preach them. Her kids all text her this week and today again. Those things mean so much to people that are mothers and fathers. You boys that just came home from college and others that will come, and I'm so glad you're home. And I want to spend time with you this summer. I hope the summer doesn't get away when we don't spend time. But cherish moments with your mother and dad. I could take you to scores of people in this room that would like to have a mother, that would like to have a father. You treat, how do you treat ladies like they're, older ladies like they're their mother? What does he say? You treat younger women as sisters. That does not mean you kill them. Oh, those two sisters of mine. One was 3 years older and one was my twin. Sisters can drive you crazy. And my sisters did a good job of it. I had two wonderful sisters. You know, my dad, I'd get ticked off at my sister. I think that's part of family and childhood. My dad, if I would have ever slapped or hit or done something to my sister, I know you're going to say child abuse. I wouldn't have sat down for 6 weeks. Maybe if we had more dads take care of that, we wouldn't be slapping women around when they're older. Are you listening, 49ers and Raiders? Seems like it's every day for those boys. No respect. I told you so many, I won't go into great detail. I can remember I got so mad at my sister one day. I took my fist, probably 13 years, and I hit my door. I wanted to hit her, but I hit her. My dad would have dealt with me. And I put my fist through the door, hollow core. And you've heard it so many times. I put a poster over my door. My sisters, neither one ever said anything. God bless them. They're such good girls. But I was in Bible college freshman year. My dad called and said, "Son, we're moving." "You are? Where are you moving?" "We're not telling you." I mean, your parents move on you after living in that house for all those years to another city. And my dad said, "Son, it's an amazing thing. We took that poster off your door. There's a hole through the door." And I said, "You know those sisters of mine, what they do?" The truth is, I think he knew right along. We treat the treatment of women, you treat older women as mothers, and you treat younger women as sisters. I don't get to see my sisters much. They're such good sisters. They're both in church today. They're good girls. Look at the third group, not only older women and younger sisters, but how about widows? If any widow have children or nephews, let them first show piety at home and to requite their parents. What does that mean? That means to pay them back. God says, widow, verse number 5, the widow. And we saw that this morning, beginning in verse 8, the widow. There was a club, apparently. You had to be 60 years of age as a widow to be in part of that, the church. And God says, you, your family, you take care of the widows. Family does. Nephews, family does. My aunt left us. She had it, $450,000, but her extended life, she left it all to our church, but the extended life took all of it but the last $45,000. And we did these floors over here in the Commons in her honor, memory. Someone came to me and said, "Pastor, your aunt is having extended care. Don't you think the church should take an offering? Don't you think the church should help out with some of her care needs?" And I said, I like the idea. It's just totally unbiblical. Brother called my dad, and her sister-in-law, which is called my mother, and she still had siblings, all my parents, my dad's parents, there's nine of them, they're all gone. But I said, she has relatives that need to take care of her, and then she has about 27 nieces and nephews, and before the church becomes responsible, the family becomes responsible. Now, if the family has no money, then the church does. That's Bible. I don't know what I'm going to do for widows, but I've been telling the staff for a year, I'm so burdened about doing something for the widows of the church. We have several here tonight. God bless you, ladies, scattered throughout this building. How do we treat widows? Maybe we ought to have some where we sit where they sit. Maybe we ought to remember how we maybe saw them at church with their husband. And now he's gone all throughout the house. We have so many widows in this church. Maybe you want to think, I wonder if they're having a hard time cutting their lawn or fixing that water heater or getting that car fixed. Those tires are so bald. I wonder if we could do something about it. The treatment of women starts with the elderly women, and then it goes to the children, the younger women, and then it goes to the widows, and then it goes to the mother and dad, the parents. Requite the parents. God says, I want you to pay your parents back. I want you to pay them back. Tonight I'm on a campaign. I like what it says in 5:14. I will that younger women marry, bear children, guide the house. I love all this text about these widows in verse 16. But I found that in 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, he speaks so much about the women. Let's leave here. I'm going to beg you to leave here. Treat your wife with great respect. I'd like to have some redo days for me. Treat your wife with such kindness that your children say, my daddy loved, my dad loved my mother. My dad was good to my mother. And anything that your wife needs that you can meet that need, you jump. If she needs a chair, put at the, don't say after the next, after at the halftime, no, right then. We just are the two of us in our house. And my wife has always believed that you have a family meal every night. It's a big meal. And she always lights a candle when the kids are growing up. We still do. And we sit down together. We always have prayer together. And she never allowed us to talk anything that was disruptive with the children at school at that time. She made us sit together. I'm glad I have these days to sit at that table and enjoy an evening meal every night with her. I look at the empty chairs, and the dining room has empty chairs. Man, if you're married, you're so blessed to have that wife. You take care of her. I want us to leave here saying, I'm going to be good to people. I'll be good to ladies. What a shame that a lady would have to be afraid of a man's fist or his hand. What a shame. What a shame that a man would be unkind to a wife or to a mother, to an aunt or to a widow. Let's stand together, please. I know it's a different message. It's not a revival message, but as we stand, I just believe if we would do our part for women, I think women would have even a greater desire to love God. And we might see, Brother Nathan, your kids, those five kids, might be able to see a good America again. It's going to happen in church. It's going to happen in church. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, please tonight, do a great work here.